everybody?
Praise God indeed. Hope everyone's doing well and having a wonderful day. Just want to just thank the Lord for another opportunity we have to come and gather in His house this evening. Let's all stand if you can. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer this evening. We just want to lift all those that are sick and shut in, those on quarantine. I want to welcome everybody watching online to First Pentecostal in Villa Rica. Just prepare. Just let the Lord just minister to each and every one of us. Does anyone on my right side have a spoken prayer request tonight? Yes, brother. Absolutely. I can only imagine. Yes, yes, yes. Brother Luke, did I see your hand? Absolutely. All prayers be lifted up. Anyone on my left side with a spoken prayer request tonight? All righty. Praise the Lord. Anyone on the roster? Sense. Absolutely. Brother Thomas, I see your hand raised. Absolutely. There's so many prayer requests, and all those that are, you know, the spoken and those that we know from our text blasts and all, but if anyone has an unspoken prayer request tonight too, if you would just acknowledge by raising your hand. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just love you. Lord, we thank you, dear Lord, for allowing us to gather in your house and in your name. Dear Lord, as we come together tonight, dear Lord, may we be in one mind and one accord. Dear Lord, may we be ready to receive the message you have for us, dear Lord, ready to praise you and worship you, dear Lord, and have an opportunity, dear Lord, to feel your holy presence. Dear Lord, again now, we're just going to lift up each and every one with their prayer requests. Dear Lord, I know there's so many spoken and unspoken. Dear Lord, you know the depths of our hearts, the needs even before we speak it. But, dear Lord, for those that are fighting COVID, those that are in a quarantine, Lord, those that are going fighting cancer, dear Lord, I know of some surgeries being scheduled. I know a young man that I work with, dear Lord, is facing the radiation and all the cancer treatments now. But, dear Lord, as we've spoken, dear Lord, you are greater than any of the illnesses, dear Lord. And for that family that's lost their child, dear Lord, only you can comfort. Dear Lord, only you can provide that comfort and peace that they need. Lord, we're praying for them now, dear Lord, and we're asking you to touch them. Lord, let them find rest in you. And, dear Lord, in anything that you have, dear Lord, we just praise you for it. Lord, now we just thank you for this service, dear Lord, and we just want to lift you up and honor you. And, dear Lord, we just give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen. Amen. Just praise the Lord. Praise God. Know that He hears our prayers. Love that song. Amen. Amen. While you're standing, turn to page 333. I'll fly away. I need y'all to sing out and help me. I still haven't got all my wind back yet. I know I still like to talk, so maybe Elaine got a little peace while I was having trouble talking. So I'll fly away. Praise the Lord.
Oh,
be seated. Oh, praise the Lord. Take a deep breath here. Praise God. I'm just going to let you also just want to remind everybody, it was announced this morning, Ida Bell will be meeting Tuesday night over in the Curtis Center at 6:30. And it's a wonderful time. It's New Year, and I know that there's so many ministries we have going forth out of our church. We're so blessed. But if you're not involved in something, whether it be from helping in Sunday school, the nursery, and all the other ministries that go forth, now's a good time to start. Everybody's doing New Year stuff, and what are we planning for the new year? Now's a good time. Get involved somewhere. And if you want to find out, you're not really sure what's all offered, get with us, and we'll gladly let you know. From the men's ministries, the ladies, the Amazing Gracious, all the way through. And even the Child of the King drama team. So we're just really excited about so much going forth. Praise God. We're going to go ahead and take up the evening offering. We have any other announcements? Nope. Come on, Mr. Trey. Thank you. And Brother Jim. Do you want to pray over the offering? No, not yet. All right. Brother Jim, if you would, please.
I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one, that silver line. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never go. Pillows are stone, and though I find here no permanent dwelling, I know he'll give me a mansion of my own. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never go. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk on streets that are pure as gold. Don't think me discouraged, I'm heaven bound, I'm just a pilgrim in search of a city. I want a mansion, a harp and a crown. Just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never go old. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk on streets that are pure as gold.
Y'all continue to worship as we sing My Home.
Straight and narrow way to reach that
that place that I will call my passing through on a temporary stay, but I'm looking forward to the time when all of heaven it will be mine. I watch and pray it could be just any day. Shepherd of my valley, what would I do without Jesus, the shepherd? Couldn't make it without you. Amen.
He is that shepherd, that good shepherd. And like the song says, I couldn't make it without him. I don't even want to try to make it without the Lord. I'm so glad that he loves us enough to put up with us. Amen. To be a confidant, to be a comforter. Amen. To be that close friend that we can. We're never alone. We may be by ourselves, but we're never alone as long as we got Jesus. He is the comforter. I will attempt to do that in G. He can. This song simply says he can. I often said you fill in the blank.
Yes.
He can do anything, can't he? He can do everything. There's nothing impossible with God. Amen. The creator of heaven and earth, he just breathed the breath of life into a pile of clay. Amen. And become a living soul. Amen. And then he came in the form of Jesus Christ. And he died on the cross of Calvary, amen, to save souls just like me. Amen. Well, who can't speak to a cripple? Stand right up and walk. Who can't cause the deaf and dumb to hear and start to talk? Who can't calm a fevered brow by just saying, let it be? With a little bit of clay, touch a bit of way, blinded eyes can see. I'm telling you, he can. I know that he'll stand by your side when the walls come crumbling in. Where well, there's no one ever done what he's done. He laid down his life, but he rose to live again. If you believe he can, put your hands together. Well, what can cause an old man that's about to say goodbye just to lift up both of those dying hands with a tear running from his eyes? With his loved ones gathered all around him, he just smiles and say, don't fear, 'cause the one that brought me through the storm is gonna lead me home from here. I'm telling you, he can. I don't know that he'll stand right by your side when the world comes crumbling in. There is no one ever done what he's done. He laid down his life, but he rose to live again. Well, what can cause an old man that's about to say goodbye to lift up both of those dying hands, a tear running from his eyes? With his loved ones gathered all around him, he just smiles and says, don't fear, 'cause the one that brought me through the storm is gonna lead me home from here. I'm telling you, he can. I know that he'll stand by your side when the world comes crumbling in. Well, there's no one ever done what Jesus done. He laid down his life, but he rose to live again. Can I get a testimony tonight? Has the Lord ever done anything at all for you? Has he ever answered a prayer? Has he ever come on the scene when everybody else said, hey, it can't be done? Have you ever sat across from the office of a doctor and he told you, there's nothing else we can do? We've been there, but we know that God can turn those things around. Amen? I remember his daddy was lying in the hospital that night, and we were sitting with him and trying to sleep in a straight chair, and he had been unconscious for several hours, and every once in a while he just kind of raised up in the bed with his arms and he was singing, when the saints go marching in. I'm not sure what daddy saw. I'm not sure, maybe the Lord just had some way of opening up heaven just a little bit and let daddy see what he was going to receive. But daddy wasn't sad, amen. In fact, he was very joyous as he's worshiping and praising the Lord. And one of these days, we're going to see our loved ones, but we're going to see Jesus who made it all possible. Well, what can cause that old man that's about to say goodbye to lift up both of those dying hands, a tear running from his eyes? With his loved ones gathered all around him, he just smiles and say, don't you fear, 'cause the one that brought me through the storm is gonna lead me home from here. Sing it, church. Can. I know that he'll stand by your side when the world comes crumbling in. Well, Jesus done. He laid down his life, but he rose to live again. He laid down his life, but he rose to live again. And he's alive today. Amen. Give him praise if you love him. Well, glory. My. Of all the praise, of all the adoration, of all of the wonderful accolades that I could think, it pales in comparison, amen, to my appreciation of what the Lord has done, not only for me and my life, but my family and people that we know. He's just I often say God is busy, and he is. Every day he is touching, he's anointing, he's making ways for lots of people all over this world. And I always want to thank him and praise him for his goodness. Amen. Before we get into tonight's message, I'd like for Brother TJ to stand and give us a testimony. He's, a newly appointed assistant associate pastor. And we just thank God that he's... Brother, I'm still having problems thinking that you're grown and got kids and all. These is one of some of the little folks that used to be running around here and in Bible school and just precious. And I'm so glad and so proud of them. Amen. For carrying on the gospel of Christ. Amen. Go ahead, brother. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yes, he is. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Sure. I know, brother. I understand. Amen. Yes. Amen. Praise God. We love you, brother. Love your family. God is good. And you're always welcome here. Amen. Your family, you all are and always will be. And you bring up a great point. It is it's disheartening, you know, when you see empty pews. And you see, I grew up in an era when you couldn't get hardly anybody to come to Sunday school, but Sunday night it was pretty much, you better get there and get a seat, because it was a really small church there in Rockmart as the crowd began to grow. But the Sunday night services was the one that most of the people came out. And most pastors that I've talked to today, it's the exact opposite. People will come for the morning service, and then it's very hard to get folks in the evening service. And I know it's a different time and a different era, but how many knows it's the same God? He's the same yesterday and today and forever. But as for me and my house, amen, we want to serve the Lord. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, go with us to the book of Matthew tonight, in the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. I know we were in Matthew this morning, but I know I preached a long time, but I didn't preach the whole book of Matthew, so we still got a lot of material, amen. Amen. In the 13th chapter of the book of St. Matthew, beginning in verse number 18 for our reading tonight. Jesus' words. Everybody say Jesus' words. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself. but endureth or dureth for a while, and for wherein or when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you and we thank you and we praise you, God, for another day and another opportunity to come into your house to worship you. Father, we're thankful for those who have gathered here tonight and those who are viewing by live stream. And Father, we pray your blessing and your anointing, not only upon the congregation here, but who all may be listening and viewing tonight. God, we know that there's sickness, and there's affliction, and there's a lot of distress in this world. And Father, we pray for the comfort of your Holy Spirit. We ask you to reach out to those who are suffering, those who are hurting, God, and just extend your mighty hand of healing toward them. Touch those in the hospitals, the nursing homes, those who are sick and shut in, those who are battling the virus. Father, I pray, God, that you would give them strength and heal them. I humbly ask you now, Lord, to anoint this vessel, these lips of clay tonight. God, just speak to us that you would have us to hear, that we might be submissive and obedient to your will and to your word, and we'll be so thankful in giving you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. And we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I don't intend to keep us a long time tonight. I know the weather is kind of bad, but I do want to share this thought with you, and it's certainly a thought and a message and a sermon that has been preached on for years and years and years. I remember many years ago as my granddaddy, in fact, was my pastor in preaching on this particular parable of the sower. A lot of songs have been written about the sower and the seed. A lot of poems and a lot of things have been attributed to this particular passage of Scripture. And I want us to understand that, and I've often said this, when Jesus speaks, amen, he has a reason behind the words. He wasn't one who was just known for babbling or on and on and on and saying things that basically didn't amount to anything. Basically, when he spoke, it was very profound sayings that came out of his mouth. And understanding that he knew that his time was short on this earth, to be able to minister and to teach and to lead people and have people come into the kingdom of God. So it was very, very important when he began to go out onto the mountain and begin to teach, and when he began to preach, and when he began to just sit by the wayside and begin to talk to folks about the kingdom of the Lord. And often he would use parables or stories, which had a meaning, man, that he would later explain. Sometimes the parables were self-explanatory, and other times they were confusing to the disciples and even those that heard the parables. But after you read and study, you find out how important and how profound the words of Christ was when he taught about these parables. And he used the parable here as the sower of the seed and how that he went about to sow the seeds. And if I had a message title tonight, it would simply be Good Ground. How many knows that it's important to have good ground? I am not a farmer. I don't intend to be a farmer. I never was raised to be a farmer. But our grandson is very infatuated with farming. In fact, he was just talking about it, I believe it was Friday night when we were driving down. And he wanted to know, are we farmers? And Penny said, no, we're not farmers. We do a little farming, but we're not actually known as farmers. Well, he wants to be a farmer. He wants to have a farm there on the land. And, of course, Penny spoke up and said, we are not having any animals, no farm animals whatsoever. And he spoke up right quick. He said, okay, but we can get a goat, right? And Penny said, no, that's one of the animals that, you know, we're probably not going to get a goat. But anyway, he was infatuated with the farming and all, and he began to talk about a greenhouse. He wants a greenhouse. And he knows a lot about sowing already and planting seeds. And he began to talk about different situations and how what he wants to plant here and what he wants to plant there.
And, you know, it's kind of weighed heavily on my mind and all. And I thought, you know, in his mind, he's growing all these wonderful plants and shrubs and blueberries. Oh, he loves blueberries. He wants to plant all kinds of blueberries so that he got plenty of blueberries. He said, Papa, if we have enough blueberries, and, you know, I like to eat them, maybe we can have enough to sell them, too. So his plans are very, very big, and his imagination is there with him. And I thought about, you know, we can imagine all of the harvest, and we can imagine all of the produce and all of those things. But there has to be preparation. Somebody's got to get down and get dirty. Because those plants don't just spring up by themselves. They don't just take care of themselves. Somebody has got to do the work. And I believe that's what the church has to do today. You know, I don't believe you would find a church member, a pastor, an associate pastor, a youth leader anywhere that would say, I do not want any growth in my church. I believe everybody would want growth in the church. Even if they have a mega church, they're still wanting more people to come. And they should be wanting more people, not necessarily to come into the building, but into the body of Christ. How many knows there's a difference? Man, the church, the building is not the body of Christ. The church is made up of many churches, of which the body of Christ is. And I'm proud to be a part of the body of Christ. Doesn't matter what part of the body, just put me in there somewhere. I want to be a part of the body of Christ. And for too long, I think, the churches have had that imagination kind of like Trey did. Man, we want to see the growth. We want to see the produce. We want to see all of these things transpire and take place. But in order for that to be happening, in order for that to come to fruition, there must be good ground. The seed can be absolutely perfect. They have seed now that's coated. You know, it's able to withstand a lot of the environment, the dryness and the extreme weather and all, and it's expensive but it's supposed to be very, very productive. But if the ground is not right, the highest priced seed on the market is not going to be productive. The word can go out, the prayers can go up, the invitations can be out to, as far as knocking on doors or sending out brochures or tracts or whatever, but the ground has got to be good ground. And Jesus was talking, and the disciples and some of those, they, what's this got to do with the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus had to go back and explain it to them. You see, in the first few verses, he just kind of give them a summary. He said, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And he said, when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. And he said, the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. And he said, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. But it kind of went over the head of the followers and the listeners there. And he had to go into more detail, and he had to begin to tell them that the seed is the word of God. Can we agree tonight that the Word of God is vital? It is important, not only for new converts, not only for people who need to be introduced to the Lord, but it's good for the saints as well. I will assure you that if you maintain a steady diet of the good word, it will nurture your spirit. Amen. We want to take care of our body. We want to eat right. We want to do right. But if we take care of our spirit, we must feed it the word of God. It is vital. It is very, very important to be familiar with the word of God and to know what the word of God says. Amen. The Old Testament, the New Testament, the Psalms, all of it is good, amen, for our reproof, good for edification. Sometimes it's just good for what ails you. So the Lord Jesus began to tell them, and he said, the wayside. The wayside describes a certain part of society. And I want you to understand that Jesus is being very tactful. And sometimes I'm not sure if we church folks are that tactful. I'm under the impression that we need to love folks to church and love folks into the kingdom of God. Because many, many times the church has gotten the reputation of trying to cram it down somebody's throat or drive them to serve the Lord. Can I remind us how we were when somebody was witnessing to us? I would venture to say that right now, you can probably imagine, you can probably remember some precious saint of God who just loved you. They were so sweet and nice to you, but yet they didn't compromise with you, but they wanted you to come and give your life to Christ. They wanted you to come and be a part of the body of Christ, and you just act naturally, wanted to draw close to them because of the love that they had. And I believe Jesus was that type. Because as he began to speak, as he began to teach and reach out and touch folks and change people's lives, the Bible said multitudes thronged him because they knew something was special about the man Jesus. So now he's telling them and describing to them the importance of being a part of the kingdom of God. And he said that part of society that we call the wayside, they hear the word. It never ceases to amaze me that sometimes you can talk to people and you'll find out they know a lot about the word. They're just not living it. Maybe they were raised in the church. Maybe they had a mother, a praying mother, a praying dad, and maybe that word was instilled into them, but it didn't take root. It's there. They were hearers, but they'd never applied it to their life. And he said, that's like the seed that falls by the wayside. They hear it. They don't really understand it. They accept it. Many people today will tell you that they believe the word of God. They don't understand it, but they believe it. You know, the Bible says, if you lack understanding, let him ask of him. You know, pray that the Lord will reveal unto you that understanding. I will assure you, you can go to 10 different people and get probably 10 different opinions. But if you go to God, you'll get the truth. Amen. He will lead you and guide you in the truth. So they hear it. They don't understand it. And then what happens, he said, the fowls of the air basically come and they snatch it away. And I'm sure that the disciples were thinking, he's talking about some farmer out there sowing seed. Here comes the crows and the birds and they're going to eat the seed. And if you've ever planted anything, if you broadcast it, you know that's exactly what they're going to do until that seed gets in the ground and it begins to germinate and die. So he says, by the wayside, they hear it, they don't understand it, and then the adversary comes and snatches it away. Those are the parts of society that heard the word, but they never accepted the word, and now cares of this world and situations have snatched that desire away from them. Was the seed not any good? No, the seed was perfect. The seed was, in fact, the word of God. But it fell on earth or on ground that was not prepared to receive the word. It was not good ground. I know very little about farming, but I know that you better break the ground up and it better be good, fertile soil if you want to get something, a return for that. Then he goes to the next step. He said, those that fell on stony places. These people hear the word and they receive it with joy. Can I get a witness tonight? When you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, when you received repentance for your life, and there was such a life-changing experience in your life, and you were so excited, you wanted to tell everybody, and that was all that was on your mind. It consumed your daily routine, you know, just loving and praising the Lord. But it doesn't take root because the ground was not good. It was stony ground. And basically, what he's talking about is the stones were underneath the ground. The ground looked good. And I don't know if you've ever tried to plant something where there's rocks underneath. It doesn't look like it. But those roots, the plants are spraying up. But all of a sudden, when the sun comes out, they'll begin to dry up. The reason being, not because it wasn't good seed, not because it wasn't watered, because it had no root, had no depth. Church, today especially, the things that are transpiring in this world, we need the deepness of God. We need to be rooted, grounded, and established in the Word of God, and know where our Savior, know where our salvation comes from, and know, amen, where our deliverance comes from, and know, familiarize ourselves with the Word of God. But those on stony places, they hear, receive with joy, but it doesn't take root. Tribulation comes, and it dries up. Example being, you may have talked to someone, they say, well, you know, I used to be in church. I used to be on fire for God. And you wonder what happened. Well, it wasn't God's fault. Something dried up in them. A lot of people blame it on being hurt in church. A lot of people blame it on situations, circumstances in life. Got too busy, got too involved in other things. And let me tell you something. The devil that I know, he'll involve you in as many things as he possibly can to keep you out of church. That's his job. So it takes root, but it soon as tribulations, trials come around, it dries up. And then he goes on to say, then I sowed among thorns, or the sower did. And that is the part of the society that hears the word, they receive the word, but then cares and deceits and riches choke it out. This is a case of when our priorities get all mixed up. And it happens so often. It happens in the lives of a lot of folks, a lot of believers. Their intentions are good. They're good people. We're not talking about perverse people. We're not talking about all these people that are atheistic or agnostic. And we're talking about people who have actually been introduced to the Word of God. And they've had the seed sown in their life. But something's happened along the way. And here it says that the cares of this world have choked out their joy, choked out their victory, choked out their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We must always make a conscious effort to keep God first in our life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then He'll add these other things to us. How many believes that? The Word of God tells us that we must, in fact, do that. And then the Lord says, but there was some, thank God, everybody say some. How many knows that the Bible tells us God's going to have a church? How many knows that there's always going to be a remnant? Amen, if we don't cry out for them, or the rocks are going to cry out, there's always going to be a people. There's always going to be somebody, amen, that the seed began to take root and it fell on good ground. Praise God for good ground. Praise God for my mother and my daddy raising me in the fear and admonition of God. That's where it starts. We begin to raise our children and let our children know that the most important thing that you can do is give your life to Jesus and prepare for Him good ground. Now, let's get spiritual. We're not talking about the earth right now. We're not talking about the rose in the garden. We're talking about our soul. And our soul, according to the Word of God, we in fact must come to repentance. And we must come with a sorrowful heart, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all need saving. We all need to repent. Every one of us, when we receive the Spirit of the Lord, has to come the same way. There's a song that says, nobody can go there for you. You got to go there by yourself. Amen? And that's what we have to do. And that is, in fact, is preparing our spirit for the Lord to sow the seed in us, to live inside. We invite Him. He will never knock the door down. He will never come in as an intruder. He will never, ever force His way into. You must ask Him to come into your life. You must prepare that ground. So He said, those are the ones that receive the seeds in adequately plowed ground. Ground that's been torn up. How many can relate to that? Has God ever tore you up? Amen. Has He ever rearranged your lifestyle? I can happily say yes, He has, time and time again. And thank God for that. because I want my soul to be receptive. I want my soul to be adequately plowed, to be good ground. Not only adequately plowed, but fertile soil, so that when he hears and understands the word, he begins to bring forth fruit. And he knows that we are encouraged to be fruitful in the house of God, in the kingdom of God, to bring forth fruit. Fruit of praise, fruit of joy, fruit of happiness, fruit of witnessing, fruit of testifying, good works. Be a good person, not just in church, not just to your family, but everywhere you go, you ought to act like Christ. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. How many knows that takes some doing? Come on, I have failed many, many times. And thank God for his mercy and for his grace and for his abundant second chances. He picks me up. He dusts me off. Amen. He puts me back on the right road. And thank God for that. And I try to learn from those failures and those experiences so that I can keep myself pliable, so I can keep myself fertile, so that I can keep the good ground. So when I receive the word of God, whether it comes through a message, whether it comes through a song, can I get a witness? Has anybody ever been ministered to by a song? Songs are important. The words of songs are important. It's a blessing. And, you know, certainly through the ministry, through teaching, but you can also be fed through home study of the Word of God. Please do not use your Bible as a bookmark or a coffee table accessory. Take advantage of the Word of God. Bibles are printed. We have Bibles here. If you don't have a Bible with you, some people have a Bible in every room of their house. And it's not to say I'm holier than thou or look what I've done. It's because we need that instruction daily. I'm afraid we can't get it just one or two services a week. As I said, I wouldn't have time to preach the whole book of Matthew. That would go into probably 6 months. But you can study and can apply it to your life. And that keeps that good ground fertile. That keeps it plowed up. That keeps it in a receptive mood, or a receptive mode, rather, so that we can receive of the Lord. And then when we do that, we bring forth fruit. How many knows that the harvest is white? But what does he say? The laborers are few. Why are the laborers few? Because there's too many that fell by the wayside, too many that fell on stony places, too many that fell among thorns. And as we said this morning, you know, if you really want to do something, you'll find a way, right? But if you don't, you'll find a excuse. And I'm afraid that there's too many excuses going up in the world today. We need to be receptive to the Word of God. I want to bring this to a close in the book of Hosea. The prophet Hosea in the 10th chapter. Now he's talking about Israel, and Israel has backslidden again. Imagine that. And they've turned their devotion away from Jehovah God and to strange idols, and God is displeased with them, and he's speaking through Hosea to again preach revival and repentance in Israel. And I want us to look at verse number 12. The prophet says, sow to yourselves in righteousness and reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Now what I get from that is the prophet is telling them to do it themselves. I know God can break up our fallow ground. I know he's broken me time and time again. But the prophet says, here, you do it. You break up the ground. You get ready to receive the word. You get ready for the seed to be planted in you so you can become fruitful when the rain, the Holy Ghost rain, the latter rain begins to rain upon your life or upon the church or you as an individual. So you break up your fallow ground. Fallow ground being that has been plowed and it's uncultivated and has not been seeded yet. It is still unsown. Unfortunately, the brother spoke about it a while ago. There's people today that don't see the necessity of coming to Jesus Christ, of coming to the Lord. I know our culture has had a lot to do with that. I know that the way of life seemingly diverts people from really having a desire to worship the Lord. But thank God the church is still alive and well, and there's many, many believers, more than you and I probably will ever know that they are. Just because we don't see them here, we know that they're serving the Lord somewhere. God's going to always have a people. But I pray as a pastor that there will be a hunger, a greater hunger, not only for the church, amen, but for those who have allowed the seed to fall but not to take root. Now, you're here tonight because you heard the word, and the word took root in your heart and became deep, and you have a deep relationship with the Lord. Now it's up to us to produce and to be fruitful, and we can be fruitful each and every day. You know, it's pretty easy to be fruitful in church because you're among believers. But let's take opportunity to be fruitful out in the world. You never know when just a kind word spoken to somebody can make a change in their life. Just being nice to folks. Lord knows we need niceness in the world today. It's almost a dog-eat-dog situation out there, and a lot of people are so stressed out that they just walk around with a frown on their face, and, you know, it can make their whole day if you just smiled at them and just spoke a word of kindness to them and certainly let them know about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can do that without getting them in a headlock, too. Amen. As I said earlier, love them to Jesus. May God bless you. We love you so very much. You're precious. I appreciate you coming out on a rainy night and being in our church tonight. Just appreciate the Lord for all of his goodness and his mercy. And as the song says, he can. He can. Don't ever doubt that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. If you would stand tonight, give you an opportunity. If you need prayer, please don't leave the house tonight without getting prayer. And I know that we have a lot of folks who do need prayer tonight, and we want to pray for them and keep them in our hearts as they struggle to get well. There's a lot of folks battling that. Jesus, I hate that. Thank you again for being with us. God bless you. Have a great week. Brother Jim. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We just want to praise the Lord this evening. Let's just give him another hand clap of praise and just lift him up and honor him. You know, God's word is so powerful and so timely. Go ahead.
I do want to thank God that Kevin's at church tonight. He's better.
Yes.
Thank God. He's had a rough couple of weeks, but he's better.
Just glad to have him back. Looking forward to all the praise reports and how God is just carrying us through. Let's remember all those that are sick, those that are shut in, those that are under quarantine, the nursing homes and some of the facilities that's battling this too and got some of them in lockdown. But we know God is greater than anything that's going around. We talk about those that have lost a loved one, a child. I can only imagine. But we just love the Lord, and we know that he can carry them through. Let's ask the Lord to strengthen us. And just want to invite each and every one of you back to our Wednesday night service. Look forward to seeing you. All of you watching online, if you haven't already, if you have a prayer request, put it in the comments section. We'll be glad to pray with you. And also for all of you, we miss you that's not able to be with us. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise your holy name. Lord, thank you again for allowing us to gather in your house and in your name. Dear Lord, as we prepare to depart, dear Lord, we ask you to keep us safe. Bring us back at our appointed time, dear Lord, and for each and every prayer request, each and every call, dear Lord, that we've given you, dear Lord, we just ask you now, dear Lord, to heal, to mend, to protect, to provide, dear Lord. We know we had prayer for future surgeries coming up and other procedures, dear Lord. We know that you can be with each and every one. And, dear Lord, we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Praise God.